This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonzel, and being offended is not a valid reason for silencing someone. That and more after a word from our sponsors, Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. So, are you looking for the right training provider that offers cutting-edge courses to hone your automotive skills? Well, let Napa Auto Tech take you to the next level. Go to NapaAutoTech.com for more details about classes near you. Are you chasing elusive automotive problems? Pico Technology empowers you to see what's really happening. Pinpoint faults in sensors, wiring, and components with unmatched accuracy. PicoScope oscilloscopes transform your diagnostic capabilities. Visit PicoAuto.com, that's PicoAuto.com, and revolutionize your diagnostics today. I guess I'd like to say it's, I don't like to say nothing, I guess. Not like this. But it's been a week. A lot of stuff going on. I really don't care to do politics, if that makes sense. You know, it's kind of one of those no-nos. And my politics, one, don't matter. But I guess I'm alluding to what happened in Utah to Charlie Kirk. We don't know everything yet. And I guess I don't want to go down a rabbit hole of speculation with that. The only thing I guess I would like to say is that the quote that I opened the episode with is from Ira Glasser. He is the former director of the ACLU. And I guess somebody that I hold in high regard, if you don't know who he is, I find that almost tragic. It's not your fault. It's really too bad that he's not held or taught to us, introduced to us like many other leaders of the country historically. He has many claims to fame, but the one I recall the most, and I think it was a rerun, but I think I was homesick from school one day and my mom would watch Phil Donahue, who was a talk show host. Ira was on there with a couple of members of Martin Luther King Jr.'s crew, if you will. At that time, there's a big, and that's why I know it was a rerun, because I think this is well before my time. But the KKK was going to demonstrate. And there's this big pushback to prevent that. And it makes sense why one would want that. However, Ira Glasser fought that they should be allowed to do so. And in this discussion with the representatives from Martin Luther King Jr.'s camp, he reasoned that once you give some entity the power to limit someone's speech that you don't like, you have immediately granted them that power to limit the speech you do like, and conceivably someday limiting your speech. And again, I don't want this to go overly political. It's just, there's a lot of bad things that happened that I don't want to gloss over with another school shooting, another one, and then a stabbing on a bus. All of these things are tragic. It's just all, no one, I don't think, can express that enough. In the Charlie Kirk situation, what's tragic about that is that college, university, and I don't know, maybe even like real world society and social media, you should be safe physically. Your ideas should be unsafe, meaning they should be challenged, and it should be okay to be challenged, and it should be okay to challenge. And again, we don't know a lot about the specifics of what led to the taking of Charlie Kirk's life. And we'll let that all flesh out. But what's really sad is I don't know if that's how our campuses are working, and I don't know if that's how our society is working. And that's unfortunate. And the reason I'm bringing this all up in this podcast is that I have two ideas with this. One is something that a while ago, I believe on Karm's podcast, Scott Brown and I were on and just talking about the dangers of social media and specifically echo chambers. And with this, everything that transpired over this week, watching a lot of groups, a lot of friends, if you will, Facebook friends, social media contacts. They're thinning their herds. They're thinning out their friends and unfriending, if you will, or deleting, blocking, whatever you want to call it. These people with differing ideas, differing thoughts, differing perspectives. I find that tragic. I find that scary. This will sound like I'm bragging. I really hope it doesn't sound that way. But I'm kind of really proud of the friends group I have. I really am. I feel like I have a very wide spectrum of perspectives and political views, and I value all of them. As extreme as one may find some of them to be one way or the other, I greatly value hearing that side of it, whether I agree with it or not, whether I agree with either extreme on whatever issue, I greatly value challenging their ideas, them challenging mine, because that's where the unsafety should be. Is if I have this idea, if I have an opinion, if I have a thought, and I state it, and it gets challenged, it forces me to have to reconsider my position or learn to strengthen the defense of my position or strengthen my position. Maybe I need to modify my position a little bit. I find that to be all good. I think a case could be made, whether you agreed with whatever came out of Charlie Kirk's mouth or not, whether you found it good, bad, heinous, or otherwise, or wrong or right, whatever, however you would describe it. On those campuses, he did welcome dialogue. And yes, don't get me wrong, much like a Ben Shapiro and a Jordan Peterson and a Destiny, they're extremely good speakers. They're extremely good debaters. They're very good, very quick on their feet. And therefore, these college students who arguably their brains aren't even fully formed yet, much less their ideas, much less their thoughts, sometimes gets beat up pretty good, not because their positions are even all that wrong, if wrong at all, but because they're not skilled. They haven't had to really learn to either modify their position or better defend their position. And when they get in an engagement with a, just say like a Charlie Kirk type, and they get challenged, and maybe they kind of get beat up with technique rather than actual, maybe facts, that they have to go back and think about it and go, oh man, I could have said this. I should have said that. You know, he brings up a good point. Maybe that isn't as right as I thought it was. I have to go think about this. And maybe they shift a little bit. Maybe they shift a lot. Maybe they don't shift a bit, but they just learn to better defend their position. That is all good. And I don't think we have that. I don't know that we have that in our professional forums where arguments take place on how something may work or how to the best way to go about doing a certain task, be it run a shop, be it diagnose a system, or I don't know that we have that in something non-political. I wish I had answers. I mean, I have thoughts. Why are we so personally, egotistically wrapped up in our ideas? Like, they're just so important that an attack on an idea is an attack on the individual themselves, or that a dislike for an idea is a dislike of the person themselves. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. It just seems to be getting amplified by social media. And then we even help it by removing those that would challenge our ideas or our thoughts or our positions or our perspectives. So now we have this platform, whichever it may be, with algorithms where a lot of importance is placed on attention. How long can I maintain your attention? How long can you stay engaged? And guess what drastically increases engagement? Enragement. If you can be enraged, your engagement skyrockets. You're being manipulated. We're being manipulated. And I'm not even saying by people purposely being heinous. They just want you to click more and stay on the platform longer. But the repercussions are enragement, echo chambers, and then arguably radicalization. Keep that in mind when you're engaging somebody online. Keep that in mind when you notice that your news sources popping up on whatever platform or whatever you're using seem to lean a hard one way. And I would urge you to not unfriend people with differing ideas, differing perspectives. I would argue that you should spend some time trying to garner information from the other side, other sources of information, so that you can start getting a little bit of a balance. Because I think echo chambers, they're scary, scary places. And if you think you're starting to garner one, I plead with you to stop it, to bring in people of far, far differing ideas and perspectives and engage. Don't make it personal. Argue the ideas. Argue the positions. Because I don't know. I don't think the divisiveness helps. I mean, we're already pretty bad about divisiveness. We're already really bad about running the competition down to try to make ourselves look better. And now we're just going to supercharge it by throwing in political positions and, or not even leave the political stuff out of it. Supercharge it with just, you disagree with me? Block. Oh, wow. Now I'm surrounded by people that we all think alike. That sounds nightmarish. I greatly value all those perspectives because I kind of want to be thinking clearly and thinking straight and not swayed by my biases as much as I possibly can. And it's hard, but that's my goal. And hopefully my varying position or placement on the spectrum on varying topics is indicative of that. I don't know. It could be not. Could be the opposite. Could be just Vance wishy-washy. I just talked to me about myself in third person. So maybe I am wishy-washy. I don't think so. I just want to learn.
NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Auto Tech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC-to-DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Auto Tech Training.
Electric and hybrid vehicles are here, and with them, a new era of diagnostics. Don't get left behind. Pico Technologies EV Diagnostic Kits are your all-in-one solution to safely and efficiently service any electric or hybrid vehicle. From comprehensive high-voltage system analysis and insulation testing to guided step-by-step procedures, Pico puts the power of confident repairs right at your fingertips. Future-proof your shop, boost your efficiency, and become the go-to expert for the next generation of cars. Visit picoauto.com today. That's PICOauto.com. Another idea and a reason I wanted to bring this up, I think it does translate to our worlds, is that in reference to really Charlie Kirk and that situation and the very, very strong feelings about him, good, bad, or otherwise, but I guess I would say particularly bad, those with very, very bad opinions of him. I don't know the guy. I know what I'm allowed to see. So all the shorts, you know, Facebook or YouTube or whatever shorts, whatever I get to see on his channel, whatever I get to see on other channels where he's involved, whatever I see with whatever news resource is reporting on him. After this has happened, and I guess, what do you expect people to say? People that knew him, what do you expect them to say? But we all know that everybody kind of wears a mask. We already know that most people are just playing a role. They're trying to be what they think you want them to be. I might be trying to play a role as to what I think you want me to be. We already know that happens with just regular people, much less somebody that's got a following of, I don't know, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. I don't know what his following was. That was putting food on his table. That was helping him provide for his family. So it's not unreasonable, I think, I could be full of it, that what you saw on stage, what you saw in those video clips, what you saw on the college campuses was an amplified version of the real person, if not a slight deviation from the real person. So a lot of judgment has taken place based on really what could be a facade. And that's not in defense of him. I don't want that just to come off as Matt's rallying behind this gentleman. I'm not. What I want you to think about is the judgment that's being brought upon him. And there really could be, that's not really him. You know, him off camera, him off stage is maybe much calmer, much kinder, gentler. I don't know how he was as a father. I don't know if any of us know, or a husband. But what that translates to me and why it's worthy of bringing up on this podcast and this episode is that if we already know people are kind of playing a role, that person at the front counter having a meltdown or, you know, having a certain way about them might not be the real them. In fact, it probably isn't. I'm not saying they're like throwing the makeup on and getting into character before they walk through the door, but depending on how they feel walking into that office, walking into that customer waiting area, walking up to that front counter, forces them to adjust certain aspects of their personality or what they're presenting, what they're projecting, based on how they feel we are going to treat them or have treated them in the past. I think that's worth thinking about. I think that's worth thinking very, very hard about. I think that's worth thinking about with a lot of people, be it the clients, be it coworkers, be it owners, managers, colleagues. I think that's worth effort to think about. Who are they really? And who are they projecting? And why are they projecting it? It could be them. It could be all on them. And we could get into, well, I mean, I think we have gotten into it when Margaret's been on in the past with just trauma and the environment of which you grew up in and all contributes to this avatar. But then that can get modified further by anxiety and fear of a certain situation. And then, of course, in the shop environment, in any environment, a social environment, you start to behave in a way that maybe, or most probably, based on what you think people want to see, or at least, better yet, how they want you to see them. Yeah, think about that for a while. And I don't know, I guess it gets difficult for me, kind of when I start thinking that way, to get overly judgy. It piques curiosity. It interests me. I wish I was better at being curious about that with everyone all the time. That's something I'm actively working on, trying to get better at, is that genuine curiosity all the time. But I think for all of us, just pump the brakes and think about that a sec. This idea was triggered by a lot of the things reading and seeing and hearing about this person, what happened to him. Honestly, it's not even to him. His kids, they're the ones that happened to them. And I don't know, it gets a little tougher to be overly judgy. I know I need to preface that a little bit because there's things he said that many disagree with passionately. And I think that's fine. The best way to go after that would have been to try to meet those ideas, those positions with our own or your own or their own, depending on what we're pointing at here. But yeah, I guess that's the stuff that pops in my head over this stuff, is that just watching the paring down of friends, quote unquote, friends list, social media contact list based on perspectives that you may even find disgusting. And yet, I don't know, I think over time, needing those challenges, needing to see, try to understand that perspective. Maybe you will never agree with it. That's fine. Maybe just a little piece of it, at least you'll be able to understand why. And it'll make sense. Maybe it won't make sense. But yeah, I don't know. I'm freaked out by echo chambers. I am freaked out, definitely freaked out by silencing, whether it's unfortunately in the case of Charlie Kirk, a bullet or a block. Yeah, just considering that what you see maybe isn't genuine, maybe isn't the real deal. So that's how I will leave you. I hope you got a kick out of this. Definitely welcome any comments on this or any episode. I thank you for the messages and emails coming in lately. They've been really fun to read. Yeah, I think I'm going to very soon have plenty of questions for another mailbag. So please keep them coming. Please email me at mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com. And before I sign off here, I'd just really like to thank our sponsors, Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. I would also like to thank the Aftermarket Radio Network, even Tracy. Until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.